A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
What's going down? Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of What's Going Down here on Patreon. My name is Kenny, joined as always by Mr. Finlay Martin. And Finn, have you managed to rinse your eyes out enough? Or do you still have the image imprinted in your brain of a naked John Cena? The
Oscar. I thought you were at first talking about that tattoo of Tony Khan floating around the internet. But of course, you're talking about John Cena at the Academy Awards. I mean, this is Cena's type of humor, isn't it? You know, he's the butt of the jokes, you know, almost quite literally in this case. I mean, so, yeah, I mean, lots of people were talking about it. And that's probably the best thing I can say about it, Kenny. Yeah, it grabbed a lot of attention. So good for John Cena.
God, the compliments that John Cena gets from you nowadays, it's overflowing. there was actually a story came out where Jimmy Kimmel said there was some nervousness backstage at the Oscars related to the stunt.
Yeah.
But the thing is, John Cena, and I hate to break this to anyone who's a big fan of him, he has no clue what goes on in the real world. He has no clue. Because if he did, he wouldn't do this. Because, you know, a couple of years after Speaking Out happened, it was a big thing in the movies and in Hollywood. And, you know, there's a lot of... I saw a drag queen put a thing up on social media about the Cena thing, who never talks about wrestling, and said, you know, if a drag queen came out and did that stunt, there'd be pitchforks at them. But because, you know, John Cena, he can do it. And weeks after saying about Vince McMahon that he still loves him and has no problem, he's out here doing this. It's just like, the guy's a joke. He's such a joke. But, you know, people think he's, for some reason, people think he's a good actor or funny. I can't say I concur with either of those assessments. But, yeah, I will go to my grave not understanding how Lord John Cena is. I will never understand it, but there we go. He is, so what can you do?
Yeah, I mean, people know what I thought about John Cena for many, many years, so he was always a joke to me. So, you know, he got people talking, and that was what he sought to do, so it was mission accomplished.
Well, let's move on to the wrestling. WWE had a SmackDown show where they did the opposite of what they did the week before, which was instead of opening the show with the Rock and Bloodline segment, they waited to close the show, which ended up being a great move for them because instead of the audience dipping throughout the episode, which is what happened on the episode on March the
First, would
first,
that have been?
yeah, March the first, instead of the audience dropping through the show, instead they ended the show this past Friday with 2.8 million viewers. And that 18 to 49 demographic that everyone talks about all the time, 0.83, which you never hear about that being that big ever. So they obviously did a good job keeping that to the end. But we opened the show on SmackDown with Logan Paul, and he tells us that Prime is going to be the first sort of partnership on the ring canvas, starting WrestleMania for every PLE. Prime is going to be on the ring canvas in the center. It has prompted lots of memes of famous wrestling moments with the Prime logo on the canvas. What do you make to this big marketing partnership?
I'm surprised it took this long. I mean, they put adverts everywhere else. And like, obviously, they've been on ring canvases in UFC and boxing and other fighting sports and other wrestling promotions as well. I mean, New Japan, I think, was it BVD? I think they were doing advertising on their ring canvas, I think, going back to the 1990s. So, yeah, why has it taken WWE this long? I don't understand it, Kenny.
Well, I
There's
think
money to be made, and they left money on the table. As we know, this company's all about the money. So, I mean, it's a good marriage for Logan Paul and for WWE, and they did an entertaining angle here to announce it, didn't they? Or to, on this week's SmackDown. So, I think everyone's a winner, basically.
yeah, I mean, we know Vince didn't really want to do it for whatever reason, but now, I mean, the thing is, Nitro used to have in 98, 99, I mean, it was their own logo. But they had their Nitro logo on the canvas for ages, and I mean, Prime's everywhere. I mean, even across the UK, you can't go to a shop without seeing Prime now. It's everywhere. So,
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
of course, Logan Paul announced this, and they brought out KSI, who got booed, and he flew him over from the UK. They're going to do a photo op, and then Orton's music hits, and he didn't come out straight away, and he tried to sneak up and do an RKO on Logan Paul, who was able to get away, but then he landed an RKO on KSI, who sold it like a champ. He even took a sip of Prime, did Orton, and told Logan Paul it was very good, but then poured it all over KSI. So a pretty fun segment to open the show and leads us to whatever Orton and Paul are going to do at Mania, whether it's just them or with Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't. There's no confirmation yet that it's going to be Paul versus Orton at WrestleMania, but we know it's going to be. It hasn't been announced yet. Presumably, they'll make that announcement this week. I mean, this did then lead to a tag team match: Grayson Waller, Austin Theory versus Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. Orton pinned Theory, and then Logan Paul returned after the match and tried to nail Orton with the brass knucks. But Orton disarmed Paul, who, of the knucks, and then Paul fled, and Orton kept a grip on the brass knucks. Actually, he put him down his trunks. But at one point there, Orton was going to nail Paul, who kind of ducked, and Orton nearly struck Owens. But Owens understood what was going on, and no trouble in paradise yet. Owens and Orton are still, best of pals, or at least partners, and Logan Paul's the enemy, then they don't consider each other to be the enemy yet. Maybe that would change.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like Owens is involved enough that my prediction is a triple threat. I feel like that is what we're going to get. Which I don't think adding Kevin Owens to it is going to make it a worse match.
No.
He's someone who I think triple threats are only bad if the third person you add is the Miz or something. Where, no offense to the Miz, but he's not adding to a match. But yeah, I thought this was a good opening segment, good tag match. And afterwards we had Logan Paul jumping Owens and Orton, and then he's gonna go for the brass knucks, but Orton steals him away, and Logan Paul escaped again. So and like you say, we had that kind of miscommunication, which narrowly avoided the hit to Owens, but yeah, good stuff. We had a backstage thing with Bailey where she was talking about everything that's happening, and she ended up we heard her talk about what was, damage control underestimating her. She's gonna make them pay. And then we saw Naomi watching Bailey talking on another monitor, and Bianca walked up to Naomi and sort of asked her, why do you feel bad for Bailey? She brought it all on herself. And Naomi's like, I get being in a group that's fallen apart, but Bianca's having none of it. And she did say she'll wish Bailey good luck at WrestleMania, but she said what she said. Naomi looks quite conflicted. I like this wrinkle, right? Because Bianca's got a history with damage control. They cost her title at SummerSlam, so she shouldn't be all rah-rah to Bailey. So I thought this made sense in terms of kind of the long-term story.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Bailey was saying in the interview that, she was hanging on by a thread and she was going to do everything she could to break damage control. I mean, Bailey was like disconsolate, melancholy out there or backstage as she did the interview. And it's a different Bailey character. And I hope people don't start booing her. I hope people don't start thinking, oh God, what a drip Bailey is. Because she's entering drip territory to me. People think, God, what a bore she is. She used to be a lot of fun. And now she's like, this complainer. If you want to read, we don't need any more complaints and grievance and victimhood in the world, Kenny.
She's
And
becoming
here's
a Karen.
Bailey joining the bloody queue, joining a massive long line. But yeah, I thought it was really good there. Naomi was backstage and she was observing all this. Then Bianca rocked up and she said, Bailey made a bed. And now she's got to lie in it. So Bianca was pretty tough on her. And Naomi was saying, oh, well, I feel sorry for her, blah, 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 blah. And Bianca's like, well, you weren't here when all this was going on. I was the casualty of Bailey and damage control. You weren't around. You didn't see any of this. So Bianca was sticking to her guns there, and good for her, showing some backbone, Kenny, showing some spirit. Showing some, she's gonna have to do some, atonement here. She's gonna have to make it up to me for all the bad things she's done to me previously. So I say, go, Bianca.
Yeah, but I also wonder if maybe I don't know if it'll be a we'll talk about Raw and the male tag team title match announcement, but I don't know if maybe for WrestleMania it's going to be the same thing for the women, and maybe Bianca and Naomi are going to be a team for WrestleMania. Which, I mean, it's I think Bianca can't be in the headline match every year. So,
No.
but I mean, I will say I'm a bit worried for Bailey because the Bailey and Io Sky thing to me is just not that hot.
I agree.
Even I know to your point about the complaining thing with Bailey, it's like it just doesn't feel that epic. And Rhea and Becky feels really big. I'd actually argue if Nia Jax was in the match, it would probably feel bigger than the Bailey and Io match. But I do understand people are willing this to be Bailey's big moment because that she's finally won a Rumble and it's a big thing for her. But at the same time, like you can't fake it. We can't just pretend it's really good if it's not.
No,
And it's not.
that's it. That's the only thing we can't fake about pro wrestling.
No, we can't. So
I mean, it's like, yeah, Bailey won Royal Rumble, but she was kind of like a heel when she won that. And
yeah.
she still had, that cockiness and, that spirit. And now she's like a deflated balloon, isn't she? But it's like somebody bring a pump up, pump along and blow her up again. Because he just feels like, she just feels like we were seeing about 20% of the old Bailey at the moment, who's, just overcome with all this grievance and all this hardship that happened to her. When you think, as Bianca pointed out, look at all the bad things she did to me. So I'm sorry, Bailey, but you're gonna have to start showing us a little bit more than this if the wrestling fans are gonna really rally behind your quest to defeat Io Sky. So yeah, they need to give this some type of injection of something to make it more interesting, because it's got to be one of the least interesting WrestleMania matches that has been announced so far, I would say.
Yeah, I would agree. I think, and yeah, especially for the fact that it includes a Rumble winner,
Yeah.
then you would be expecting more. from this. I we've not mentioned this in a few weeks because we tend to not really talk about it because it's absolute dog shit, to be honest. But Bobby Lashley had a match with Karrion Kross, and they're still feuding with all their teams. Has it got any better for you, or do you still feel as apathetic about it as you did the last time we talked about it?
Well, I was hoping that this was going to be Lashley's big victory, and like they were just going to just get rid of Cross and the Authors of Pain and Paul Ellering and sorry, Scarlett, but you're just not very interesting, when you're attached to Karrion and he's your husband. So, obviously, Miro and Lana, CJ Perry, it's all over, right, Kenny? That's what they're
Yes,
saying.
announced on TMZ, they are over after 7 years of marriage, which is sad to hear,
Of
but
course, it's
anyway.
sad to hear. Yeah, of course, it's sad to hear. But I mean, if Cross and Scarlett are still together, which they are, these two are unlikely to break up on television. But yeah, I mean, I thought Lashley was going to get the win here over Cross, and that was going to be the end of this. Instead, the Authors of Pain ran in, so we had the DQ. Then the Street Profits hit the ring to save Lashley from AOP. But then AOP and Cross beat down Profits and Lashley. So this feud must continue. But no, it's doing absolutely nothing for me. I feel bad for Lashley and the Street Profits. It's such a waste of their talents. And the sooner this ends, the better.
Yeah, I would agree. We had another win for Tiffany Stratton. She beat Misha in pretty quickly, so she's continuing to get wins. We just don't know if that's going to lead to her doing something at WrestleMania or not. Who knows?
My prediction is she's going to challenge Bayley. If Bayley does become champ at WrestleMania, she's going to challenge Bayley after WrestleMania. So maybe she'll do something on the show, but I don't. It'll be a multi-person match or multi-woman match, I would think, if she's going to be involved. But I thought Stratton looked good again here. What I like about her is that every move she does is connected to the previous thing she did, and the prettiest moonsault ever at the end was. She was kind of slow getting on the top turnbuckle to do that, but it didn't matter. She made it work. It sort of matched what she was doing. The handspring elbow looks like it really hurts. It doesn't look like, some gymnastic move that she's doing for the sake of impressing people with some flashy tumbling move. It really looks like she nails her opponent. So yeah, another big win for Stratton. Well, maybe not a big win, but another win for Stratton, and yeah, another step forward for her.
Yeah, and good for her, obviously. And I really like Tiffany Stratton. I've got a lot of hope for where she's going to go. But this show was all about the main event segment, which was going to be the Bloodline coming out, Roman and The Rock, and then Seth and Cody were going to come to answer the challenge. So of course, Seth and Cody come out, but they come out through the crowd instead of coming out normally. And yeah, talk me through your thoughts on this segment. It obviously led to the big slap at the end and the acceptance of the challenge. What did you make of this as a follow-up to last week?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, these segments are long, but I mean, when you factor in how long it takes them to get to the ring, and that's a big part of it, and just all the poses and just letting the crowd die down and everything's given time, nothing's rushed. We had the, acknowledge us, not acknowledge me, acknowledge us, Dallas. said, this was Dallas, wasn't it? Yes, that's right. It was Houston, Toyota Center for Raw.
Houston.
So Reigns was there, and then didn't really say a whole lot. And then Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins came out. But I mean, that all takes time as well with the entrances. So a huge portion of this segment was taken up by the entrances, lots of standing around before they actually started saying anything. Rollins called The Rock Mr. Midlife Crisis. You know, he said, you know, you've had your time, you've had your day in the sun, you're not going to take hours from us. He said, Rollins said to Rock, you want your answer? Biggest WrestleMania of all time, biggest tag match of all time, we accept. So they got that out of the way. Seth Rollins, you know, officially announced that, yes, this tag team match would take place and headline night one of WrestleMania. Then Roman Reigns started laughing at Rollins and Cody as well, saying, you know, what are you doing? Letting this guy speak for you. Then that led to the closing segment of Rock bringing up that Rhodes' two siblings were like, I think he said 20 years older than him. I don't think they're actually 20 years older, but quite a lot of years older anyway. And Rock said to Rhodes, you're the youngest of three. And he said, you're a mistake. And Cody was like raging and then slapped the Rock. And that was the end of the segment. So, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, I guess the most surprising thing about it, Kenny, was that fans started chanting diarrhea. And then you could hear Rollins cracking up in the corner. You could tell he just thought that was hilarious. And Reigns and Rock just stood there, just mildly irritated until it ended. And then they just continued, didn't they? They didn't even acknowledge it. That was funny.
I did see someone say that, you know, the diarrhea Dwayne thing, you know, it can be said sort of taking the piss out of The Rock's shtick and his shtick that's just so, you know, corny a lot of the time. And then obviously it's kind of worked in his favour because the fans are chanting it here. I didn't think we'd get a diarrhea chant. I didn't see that one coming. It wasn't on a bingo card. A couple of things I thought about. I enjoyed the segment. I don't think it was as epic as the week before, but I think it was still really good. And the fade at the end was weird, where Cody slapped him and he just kind of went straight off the air. But I think they went a bit over time. They wanted to go over time. I thought Seth Rollins' line about Rock being a walking midlife crisis was tremendous.
Yeah.
A great line. Obviously, the Roman, a line that's got a little bit of play, is that Roman called Seth a crossdresser. And the thing is, that line is just not going to fly in 2024 for the most part. But you could kind of see after Roman had said it that he was like, oh, that's not went down the way I'd hoped. But it's just one of those things, you know, there's things that were said 10 years ago, 15 years ago that would have been totally fine. And now, you know, you just need to think a bit more about what you say. So I thought that was interesting. I mean, it's not going to derail anything. It's one line. But, you know, Roman rarely says anything that gets any sort of criticism of any kind because he's on it all the time. But, you know, everybody has a slight misfire sometimes about, you know, reading a room and how people are going to react to a line.
Yeah, I mean, that was something he said. And, he tried to move on from that one as quickly as he could. And, you know, if he'd said it 20 years ago, if he said that during the Attitude Era, you know, people would have, you know, really reacted to it. But that was a different time. It's 2024 now.
Yeah.
So I imagine he won't make that mistake again. The main thrust of this, of course, was that Rhodes finally slapped Rock. You know, that was he referred to it as a receipt, didn't he, on Rock? So obviously Rock had slapped Rhodes back at the, you know, press conference bash thing or the press event bash in Vegas. The ending of it being a little bit weird with them fading out and it ending abruptly. To be honest, it didn't matter to me because we've still got how many more weeks to go? Like 3 weeks to go, something like that, is it? Is it like we've got one, two, we've got three, we've actually got four more SmackDowns, haven't we?
Yeah, there's loads more. I mean, I guess the only thing is WWE had a big operation we shouldn't be seeing things getting faded because they've not got enough time. Unless that was the plan, of which case, if that's the plan for it to go off there, that's great. I mean, it's not going to affect anything, but I think they probably need to get rock in a kind of zone of like, you know, you have 20 minutes here. That
Yeah.
means 20. Like, don't, because like, if there was something big, I mean, the thing I remember is obviously that Shawn Michaels Bret Hart example, right? Where Bret talked for too long, so Shawn didn't get to do his super kick when he was in the wheelchair in 97. Yeah. And like, you know, but at least, I mean, this one I don't think was, I mean, I don't think Cody or anybody was annoyed because nobody was going to, I mean, I don't even know what was supposed to happen when after the slap. I think they were meant to get pulled apart, was probably about it. But
yeah, well, I don't think it matters. If they'd gone off the air before the slap, that would have been a problem. But they did the slap and that was it. That was your cliffhanger. That was your big moment. That was the image that you wanted to leave people with. And like, it's too soon for Rock and Reigns to start pummeling Rhodes and Rollins, isn't it? I mean, that's either the night before or the week before, isn't it?
Well, do you think we're going to see, I mean, because obviously Cody and Seth are on Raw technically, and Rock's only really announced for SmackDowns. I wonder what, I mean, are they only going to be in the same room one more time?
I would think they'll do, presumably they'll do a contract signing segment, I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. And then presumably the faces will end up getting smashed through the tables. I mean, it is traditional, isn't it? but I mean, I think we need a beatdown segment before WrestleMania.
Yeah, we need something. But I mean, it'll be, I doubt they're going to leave. I mean, maybe they do it the SmackDown the night before WrestleMania.
Actually, I don't think they will do. I think we'll do that on the 29th of March, because you need that beatdown segment. You need the faces going for revenge. And we need to, that needs to be, you know, hammered over our heads. That video package needs to be in circulation for like more than a week before the show, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because when you think the Friday before WrestleMania, then we've got the Hall of Fame that night. So people are going to be talking about that. Then we've got Stand and Deliver. And there's all these other things going on. So I think that needs to take place 8 days before WrestleMania, that beatdown segment.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep an eye on it. Obviously, we'll be covering everything that happens. Let's move on to Raw. We opened Raw with Drew McIntyre coming out, cutting a promo, basically, you know, laughing at CM Punk again being injured. And he brings up The Rock and how, you know, he's still angry that Seth Rollins is involving himself in this scenario, which brings out Seth. And we get this segment where Seth is basically trying to goad Drew to sort of take a shot at him, to, you know, give him a claymore. And Ron says that, you know, of all my problems and things to be worried about, my bad back, my knee, The Rock, Roman Reigns, you know, way at the bottom of the list is Drew McIntyre. And Drew sort of teases that he's going to hit Rollins, but he doesn't take the bait. And that's the segment. What did you think of this opener?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, if Drew McIntyre doesn't win the championship, I'm not quite sure what he does next. So it really, to me, telegraphed the outcome of their match, because Rollins really, I'm not sweating you, Drew McIntyre. You know, you're no threat to me. He really humbled him here, didn't he? This wasn't quite Cena or Austin Theory territory, thankfully. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it was, you know, he really kind of belittled him here, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I mean, I guess it's fine if Drew does beat him. I mean, I guess that's the story they're trying to tell, but it doesn't make Rollins look like... Because I actually thought that the line that Drew used, which was really clever, because I wouldn't have even thought to use it, was when Drew said, you've been telling me for months I need to move on from the bloodline and I need to get over it, and I have, and now you're the one who's keeping it going. Which, you know, is true. That's what the Seth character is doing. He's keeping it going with the bloodline, so Drew's got kind of reasoning there to be more annoyed, but he has to win at WrestleMania. There's just no, any doubt you had before, this promo is gone in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he lost the match, didn't he, in, when was it? November, was it?
Crown Jewel, yeah.
Crown Jewel, that's right. And at that point, we sort of assumed that Drew McIntyre was leaving. And then, you know, CM Punk returned and lots changed at that point. And CM Punk, you know, obviously Drew did the, you know, character shift in the run-up to War Games, didn't he? Because he teamed with the Judgment Day, didn't he, against Cody Rhodes and the other faces. So we had that shift, I think, that month of the Drew McIntyre character. So yeah, I mean, he's got to be, if he doesn't beat Rollins at WrestleMania, then I'm not sure what's next for Drew McIntyre. Probably AEW.
Well, and an inside ropes tour if he's leaving.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked about this. If he's leaving, he needs to do the F Martin interview for the mag. He needs to do the tour with me. That's the rules.
Yes.
We can't. So we need to do. So, if he, I mean, I've said before, it'd be great if he came, if he did that and then went back to WWE. But I don't think that's how it's going to work. I think he's staying and staying.
How many tickets do you think you'd be able to sell for a show like that?
I think in Glasgow you could get close to 500 for him.
Right, okay.
Glasgow for sure. So I think it'd be a hot ticket.
I think it will be as well. I think you'd sell more than that, but what do I know?
Well, but we would do our best to promote the shit out of it. But I mean, look, selfishly, I would love to do that, but I'm sure that will happen with Drew and me and you at some stage down the line anyway, whether it's in 2 months or 2 years.
Yeah.
But I mean, for his career, I mean, if I mean, all people who are reporting are saying he still has not signed, which is crazy. But I mean, wrestling is crazy, so who knows? But we will see. We had.
Yeah, it is crazy that he's in this position in this huge match. But I mean, there again, until they put the belt on him, it's well, Drew, are you going to commit to us or what? Because you need to commit to us before we're going to commit to you and give you this championship. I mean, that's it, isn't it? There's an ultimatum there.
Well, because it's the whole, was it not the whole Punk thing in 2011? He signed his contract the day of Money in the Bank, or the morning of the show.
Think so, yeah. I think that's right. Yeah, I
Yeah,
think
you
that's
weren't
right.
going to put the belt on him until he re-signed, obviously. So
Yeah.
we've got a kind of similar scenario here, but way less acrimonious.
Yes.
Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan had a match here. They went about 15 minutes. Crowd were super into this by the end. Morgan got a lot in on Becky. And in the end, Becky was able to get the win here. What did you make of their match?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of slow at the beginning because you had two faces there and they were asking the audience to choose. And even though Lynch is the bigger star than Liv Morgan does have a lot of fans. And to me, it really came alive when Lynch kicked out of like a sunset flip power bomb. Morgan had hit like a sunset flip power bomb off the apron onto the mats ringside. And then Lynch had kicked out of that. And, that was the big turning point for the match. Lynch rolled to the floor after she was hit with a manhandle slam. And then Lynch rolled to the floor after she'd been struck with Oblivion. And then in the ring, Lynch won with a manhandle slam. So, yeah, I thought it was a very even match. I thought Morgan was protected here. They looked after her. They didn't do too much, they did enough for a TV match. But not so much that, they burned through a load of moves and made them seem meaningless. And then, they both looked really disheveled at the end, and so they should have done because they'd had a long match out there and it was supposed to be grueling, and that was the whole point of them, looking knackered at the end. It was supposed to look like Lynch had, really been put through her paces before she scored this lucky win. And what a contrast between Lynch and then Rhea Ripley, who walked out looking like she'd just come from the salon, didn't she?
She did.
She'd just been to the Style Mile in Glasgow, just been fitted out, and here she go, right, there you go.
The style.
Does Becky look like she's been pulled through a hedge backwards?
I've got a bold prediction for you, Finn. So after the match, when Becky won, and Rhea Ripley came out, and Liv Morgan did that kind of interesting, you took everything from me, I'm going to take everything from you line,
Yeah.
which they can revisit down the road. So they have this back and forth promo with Rhea and Becky and Rhea says, you know deep down that I'm better than you. And the crowd are really into Rhea, obviously. And
Yeah.
Lynch says, when people are behind me, when people believe in me, I'm good. And when people doubt me, I'm great. And if I've got the whole world against me and the world doesn't stand a chance, I wonder if we are in the beginnings of a Becky Lynch heel turn. Because if Rhea's on the way to a face turn, which we assume she is based on the
Yeah.
reactions of her, Maybe that's the story. Maybe Rhea retains at WrestleMania, and maybe that puts Becky on a path. I don't know. I just got a subtle hint here that that's my bold prediction, is that maybe Becky is going to turn to the dark side.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. I mean, she's how long is it since she? I mean, she's been a face now for. Has she been a face ever since she returned after having a baby? I think she has, hasn't she?
She turned face at SummerSlam 2022. She would
2020.
play Bianca Belair when she came back in 2021, because she remember she beat her in like 5 seconds at SummerSlam,
Oh, of course, yeah.
and then
And
she
then
beat her at the
Paige.
following WrestleMania, and then when Bianca beat her at SummerSlam 2022, that was when Damage Control came out and debuted, and Becky backed her up. So I think it's been that long.
Yeah, actually, that yes, you are right. Of course, you are right. Yeah, so yeah, so it's not been so it's been like coming up 2 years, hasn't it? That she's been a face. I don't know. Maybe she's getting to the point in her career now where people won't boo her. I mean, that could be the thing, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Because you reach a certain point in your career where people really don't want to boo you anymore, and it just doesn't really work when you try to play a heel. But you are right about Rhea Ripley. I mean, I'm not quite sure how it's going to play out with the Judgment Day. Are they going to lose the tag belts at WrestleMania? I mean, probably. Will there be a big split? Raw the next night or the night after or that month? I mean, I'm not sure. It feels like Judgment Day of Pete, doesn't it? And I'm not quite sure what's going to happen here because obviously the Balor and Priest are tag champs. Priest has still got the Money in the Bank briefcase. I mean, it's hard to really picture a scenario in which he cashes that in and succeeds. Because, I mean, if Drew defeats Seth Rollins, then I can't imagine that Drew's going to lose the belt within like 2 or 3 months of becoming champ. Because it just wouldn't make sense, would it? Whereas if Rollins retains, then I could potentially see Damian Priest cashing in and becoming champ temporarily. But yeah, it feels like there's a lot of things that are going to happen over the next few months. And one of them is Rhea Ripley, I would think, splitting from the Judgment Day and turning, proper baby face, I would say. So, but yeah, does that mean Becky Lynch has got to turn heel? Maybe. And then maybe if that is what happens, that extends the feud into the post-WrestleMania season. So we've got, proper heel, bad Becky Lynch versus a, honest to goodness babyface Rhea Ripley. So you've got more mileage in that feud, haven't you?
Yeah. And I mean, I think the Judgment Day thing will play out between maybe Mania and SummerSlam. I think they'll take their time, and we're not just going to see like a 2 week build of them breaking up. But I think there's good stuff to do with the Judgment Day. So, hopefully they play that out in a way that feels, big that we can. We then had an announcement from the GMs, Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce, that there is going to be a six-way or a six-pack ladder match for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team titles at WrestleMania. So there's going to be three teams from Raw, two teams from SmackDown. There's going to be qualifying matches next week. Teams like Miz and R-Truth, DIY, Pretty Deadly, New Catch Republic are all in there. So what do you make of this being the tag match we're going to get in Mania?
Well, we were talking last week about speculating that it could potentially be a ladder match for Gunther's title, and obviously it's not going to be, as we'll discuss in a moment. And also that would have like tread on the toes of Money in the Bank, but by having a ladder match that's in a tag setting, that doesn't affect Money in the Bank, in my opinion. So I think this is a good compromise in terms of getting lots of people on the show. And if you think about it, Balor and Priest have beaten everyone, haven't they? So if you put them in a six-pack ladder match for the belts, that's a different match. So, they don't really have a team apart from Miz and Truth. Mind you, they've beaten Miz and Truth, haven't they? So that didn't really feel like a WrestleMania 2-on-2 match, did it anymore? Because we've seen it, we saw that on Raw, didn't we, the other week? So they couldn't really book that, although it would not surprise me if Miz and Truth were to become tag team champions. And I think it would be a hell of a WrestleMania moment if they did win the belts at Mania. Short reign, but hell, what a moment for those two veterans. So yeah, I like the idea of this match because I mean, are there any other gimmick matches currently booked for WrestleMania? Only the potential of the Bloodline Rules match between Cody and Roman Reigns. That's the only other one, I believe.
Yeah, there's nothing, you know, there's no Hell in a Cell, there's no anything like that. So, I mean, I think it's one of those things where, I'll be honest, a six-team ladder match is not my ideal match because it's so many people. But at the same time, I think the reason I'm okay with it is because even with the Miz and R-Truth thing, as much as they're fun, I don't think that would feel big at WrestleMania because
Yeah.
Miz is terrible and R-Truth is the comedy guy. So,
Yeah.
and also it's like, it's not like if the Judgment Day had been in this like feud with DIY that we were really invested in and that was getting kind of tossed to the side to make it a multi-team match, that would be one thing. But there's not a feud that they've got that's really exciting. So in that sense, I kind of understand where they're going. Let's just make it a big spot fest thing. Because at least that'll, you know, they're framing it as the titles mean a lot, so people have got to qualify to get in it. And
Yeah.
so yeah, I think based on what's going on, I understand why they're doing it. And I think on the night it will be a match that people kind of go nuts for if they get the spots right.
Yeah, I think so as well, because as far as we know, or currently anyway, there are no other gimmick matches planned.
No.
So, this can exist and this will be different from everything else. And like when you start booking too many gimmick matches, then it dilutes the importance and appeal of all the gimmick matches.
Yeah. We had this match with Candice LeRae and Indi Hartwell, who are facing Maxine Dupri and Ivy Nile, and the match lasts 2 minutes, but as Maxine Dupri goes for like a reverse caterpillar, she backs off because Candice LeRae is waiting for her, and Candice LeRae basically screams at her and says, "You don't belong here, just like your dead brother." And apparently, this is the heel turn from Candice and Indi. And the story is that in real life, Maxine Dupri had a brother who died in 2017, age 22, and I think he had kind of certain issues health-wise that he couldn't drive and stuff. Like he would have seizures and things, and he was in a taxi and there was a crash and he died. So, but I mean, none of that's been explained to us at any point, and this just kind of came out of nowhere. What did you make of this turn and this whole scenario?
Well, I mean, this is playing off the reaction to Maxine Dupri in the arenas. People have been booing her because she shouldn't be in the ring, basically. It's that simple, isn't it? And so, I mean, they've turned this into a storyline. And Candice was saying, "Well, the reason people are booing you is because you don't belong here, And if you these people out here, you should hear what people are saying about you in the locker room if you think these people here are being hostile." And like she made a comment about how it's just as well that your brother's dead, so he doesn't have to see what an embarrassment you've become. And like Maxine's there, just like, paralyzed by this tongue lashing, and then Indy scores the pin. So, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, but I mean, we are now in the Christian Cage era where he brings up dead people all the time, doesn't he? I mean, I know he gets away with it somehow because he's got a sense of humor, which Candice didn't really seem to have much of a sense of humor here. He was more portrayed in more of a serious way. But I mean, I'm all for Candice and Indi Hartwell turning heel because they were just, it's over from his faces. And, I've made my feelings clear about Maxine Dupri. I don't think she should be on TV. She actually looked all right in the few things she did in this match, to her credit. The moves looked okay, but she isn't ready for TV, and it's just that simple. So I don't know. I don't really know what to make of this, Kenny. I mean, I like the idea of Candice and Indy turning heel. That's the best thing I can say about it.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with people doing wacky angles. I just kind of came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting it, but we'll see. Maybe this is going to give Candice and Indy a boost. And I mean, the thing is, I always think if people are okay with real life stuff being brought in, it's not my job to decide on whether that's brought into a storyline. But you know, now you're setting it up that Maxine is going to have to get some sort of revenge at some stage, which I'm sure
Yeah.
he will. I'm sure that will be part of the story. So,
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think it was necessary to bring up that her brother had died. I mean, if you're going to mention that should have been on week three or four. That just felt like, Russo territory where you're just cramming everything in at once for maximum shock value. I
yeah.
think the fact that she was just saying you don't belong here and you should hear what people are saying about you in the back, that would have been enough here. She didn't need to add that as well.
Or maybe you do the thing where Maxine does a sit down. You kind of have them have Michael Kors say, fans have been booing you in the arenas. How do you feel about it? And she talks about it, and she brings up her brother, so we know what it is. And then 3 4 weeks later, Candace does this, and then you go, because you know the situation, you're familiar with it. When you don't know it, you're like, dead brother. And then you don't know what she's talking about.
No.
You're not in on the, well, not the joke, but you're not in on what the comment is. It's like whenever
Yeah.
Christian does the thing in AEW or whatever, I mean, I know he's kind of, whenever he does it, it's like we basically figure out who's got dead dads by if Christian does a promo to them. So that kind of is his shtick, but he built that up a bit first. So it might come though that this is a good thing for Candice LeRae. It might come that she, I don't want to say develops a personality because that's quite cruel, but develops a personality. So.
Yes, exactly. Oh no, it's great for her. I mean, she already showed more personality here than she ever has as a face. I did find her quite, likable as a face, but I mean, Candice and Indy are just not, they're struggling as a face team. And I thought they did well actually at Elimination Chamber, but that was because they had more minutes and the match layout was very favorable towards them, and the crowd were really behind Indy. And I thought that actually was a really good match for their team. And maybe, people thought, hey, this team's actually got more talent than we gave them credit for. Let's turn them heel and do something with them. So, yeah, I mean, I like the idea of them, doing this. I'm actually hoping Gargano and Ciampa turn heel as well, and the whole DIY act becomes a heel unit
Yeah, be
because
fun.
Gargano and Ciampa. I don't think there's really any more, waves for those two to make as faces or progress for them to make as good guys. I think they need to turn heel as like a collective.
We then had a promo from Cody Rhodes in the ring with Michael Cole, and he, Cody just shows how good he is here. He's almost in tears because he's been asked about why you teamed with Seth Rollins, why did you slap The Rock, and he sort of sends a receipt, and then he just gets really emotional about how, if he wins this belt, he can't hand it to Dusty Rhodes, but he can hand it to his mum, can hand it to his wife, Brandy, who took a shot on him when he was wearing a goofy mask. And, the story's beyond him, but it's up to him, and he has to finish his story. And, he gets pretty emotional, and he ends up, saying he's going to finish the story and we're in the final inning, and he shakes hands with Michael Cole and hugs him. But yeah, I mean, it just feels like Cody has to win at WrestleMania. I just can't imagine that he loses again.
If he doesn't win, right, it's over for him. Because I'm actually reaching the point now where I'm kind of sick of hearing about the story, Kenny. I'm reaching that point where I just really want to hear about the story anymore. I just want you to get to the finish line, win the belt, and let's just move on to that next chapter. Because, this has been going on. Well, obviously, we had this time last year, didn't we? The run up to WrestleMania in 2023. And here we are again. So, I'm looking forward to the match and I want Rhodes to win. But yeah, if he doesn't win, he's in deep trouble. I don't see really a much of a future for him in this company and certainly not as a top guy. I think he did very well to actually survive the loss in 2023. And I thought that was going to be really, really tough for him. And I think the Lesnar feud, even though it didn't really make any sense, it did save his career. And I think if something huge like that hadn't happened, I
Yeah, sure.
think he wouldn't be in the position he's in right now.
And I thought it was cleverly brought up, because he even said in the promo, he said, I can't say if I don't win this year, I'll win next year, because I said that last time. So they're sort of, but WWE are not going to stack the deck at WrestleMania and do all this stuff to have him lose.
Well, we said that this
I
time
know,
last year.
But I can't imagine it's going to happen again. But then maybe,
No.
maybe that's what they're going to do. But I mean,
No, 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 no. He's going to win. He's going to win for sure. Because if
it
he
does
doesn't
give
win, it's
it does
over.
give you though that kind of good feeling of like when you're watching the match, come on, Cody, you got to do this, you got to win.
Yeah.
Like it's when wrestling is really good when there is that doubt in your mind, but you want him to do it. So yeah, I thought he did a great job on this promo.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, he said all the right things, and the crowd are behind him, and people want him to win, and they know all these people he's talking about are real people. They're not fictional characters in this crazy storyline. They're all real human beings. And yeah, I imagine that, his sister and his mother will be there at ringside, and we'll have that moment there after he wins. He's going to be pictured with them, and I think it really will be a really quite an emotional moment on the night for all of us, Kenny.
Yeah. We find out Muhammad Ali is going to go into the WWE Hall of Fame as this year's celebrity inductee. I mean, if, in terms of celebs, he's a total shoo-in to go in. So.
Well, yeah, he is. I mean, I don't really. I mean, obviously that match with Antonio Inoki was one of the worst matches of all time. He did do, quite an entertaining angle with Gorilla Monsoon. It was a big part of the success, I think, of WrestleMania 1. He's had, links with pro wrestling and, dating back, decades, obviously. Yeah, I mean, it's Muhammad Ali. Was he the sportsman of the last century? I think he was voted the sportsman of the last century, I believe he was.
Yeah, I think he is.
So richly deserved. I don't know. I don't really understand why he's going in all honesty. Well, anyway, he is, and that's that.
Yeah, he's in. And then the main event was the gauntlet match for the chance to become the IC champ at WrestleMania. We had JD McDonagh going out first to Ricochet, then Bronson Reed beating Ricochet, then Sami Zayn beating Bronson, and then Sami beating Nakamura for Chad Gable and Sami Zayn to be the final two in the match. And there was a lot of back and forth here. Fans were very invested in both of them, but Sami Zayn was the one in the end to get the win here, where he countered an ankle lock after Gable just was beating the crap out of him for a few minutes.
Yeah.
What did you make of the Gauntlet match and the decision to go with Sami at Mania?
Oh yeah, sorry. Can I just mention, obviously, Muhammad Ali did the appearances as well with New Japan, and also the famous angle with Jake the Snake Roberts, where Roberts didn't sell one of his punches.
I
That's the
hope
class.
that makes the video package.
I'm sure I'm not making that up, Kenny. I'm sure Bill Watts brought him into Mid-South. About 86. I don't know if you can just look this one up. I'm sure he brought him for an angle in about 86 in Mid-South, and he nailed Jake, and Jake didn't really sell it. Or maybe
Yeah,
it was 85.
you are right. You are right. It did happen.
Yeah, let's not forget about that one. And Jake's line was, "Well, I'm going to be here next week. He's not." Anyway, getting back to the Gauntlet match. Yeah, I really enjoyed the Ricochet JD McDonagh portion of it. Ricochet eliminated JD, Samantha Irvin, what a professional she is. She didn't allow her enthusiasm to dip after Ricochet was eliminated by Bronson Reed's tsunami. I mean, Ricochet was just squashed, wasn't he? So then Sami Zayn came in next and he eliminated Reed. Then it was Nakamura, and Zayn eliminated Nak, and then Chad Gable came in last. And Gable, the sportsman, said, "Come on, Sami, get to your feet." He didn't want to take a shortcut or take advantage of, Sami when he was in a disadvantageous position after already wrestling for many minutes. And yeah, we thought it was going to be Chad this time last week when we talked about the Gauntlet match on last week's part. It wasn't this time last week, was it, Kenny? It was last Thursday when we spoke about it. We
Yes.
thought it was going to be Chad who was going to go over here, and he didn't. It was Sammy. And I don't really know what to make of it. I mean, is this Chad's WrestleMania dream over? Will he be in the six-pack tag team match maybe with Otis? Possibly. I
Yeah.
don't know. I would have preferred to see Chad win, but it's Sami Zayn versus Gunter at WrestleMania. And is he gonna be Zayn? Is Zayn gonna be the one to end Gunther's reign? And I don't know whether Zayn really needs that win. And I think it would be a bit of a waste if he was the one to defeat Gunther for the belt.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say, I would have preferred if it was Gable, just because I have more invested in Gable, and Sami Zayn has kind of fallen from grace a bit. But I get why they're going with Sami Zayn. I'm just hoping the weeks leading up to WrestleMania that it feels big by the time we get there, because for Gunther to lose the title, it should feel like a big moment. So I hope that they manage to get us there.
Yeah, I would prefer it if it was like Bron Breakker or someone younger whose career can be massively enhanced by this monumental historic victory over Gunther, you know, longest reigning IC champion ever. I mean, we saw what Honky Tonk Man did for Ultimate Warrior.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the other thing is, though, with WrestleMania, not every babyface can win.
No.
So, you know, you're not going to have, it's not going to be Bayley, Sami Zayn, new tag champs, Cody, Becky. It's not going to be everybody winning.
There's no, like one or and two nor people. Should it be. And it shouldn't be. So, yeah, I mean, if, you know, if Gunther retains against Zayn and this results in Zayn going into this, you know, funk and then, you know, does the heel turn, which I, to me, it feels like that's where he's going and that's his destination, then I'm happy with that. You know, I thought, and maybe, you know, Gunther can hold the belt for a few more months.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, we shall see. So that's everything, though. That's everything on the road to WrestleMania. We've got the Rock concert this Friday, so we'll be talking about that next Tuesday. Loads of stuff going on. So yeah, that's about it. We'll be back on Thursday for Power Slam, obviously, and. Not this week, but next week we're going to do a kind of special Power Slam. Our Power Slam overrun for next week will be us talking about the 2004 Hall of Fame class who went in.
Yes.
We'll be recording the WrestleMania 20 review next Monday on Patreon. So as a sort of appendum to that, you can listen to us talk about the Hall of Fame class from 04. So
indeed. Yeah, that's something different, but you know, we like to do things differently on this podcast, don't we, Kenny?
Exactly. So, yeah, looking forward to that as well. But yes, I want to thank you for all your support, as always, everybody, and hope you enjoy your week. Obviously, Inside the Ropes magazine, you can pre-order now issue 43, which is up for pre-order, and there's loads of stuff in that edition. You get Finn talking about Elimination Chamber, you get coverage of Sting's last match. Keith Elliott Greenberg goes into the history of the Greensboro Coliseum as a venue and all the stuff that's going on in there. I speak to Trish Stratus. Tom Fordy looks at The Rock's big return to WWE. So, and Ben Veal talks to Kurt Angle about his life outside of wrestling. So tons of stuff then for people to get involved.
Tons. It took me ages to do that cover and I can't really explain why. Anyway, I thought it looked pretty good.
Yeah, it looks great. The Sting, because we've had Sting in the past on the cover when he had his award. And now Sting action shot. So it's a good different slant on Sting. So long, Sting, which is a great line. So
That's it. Yeah, I thought it was a really nice cover photo and, you know, a different one as well, an action shot. So, yeah, hopefully people will check it out. You know, there's plenty in there as always.
Yes, and that'll be out on March 28th. But if you do pre-order, it could arrive with you a day or two before. So even if you're someone who is heading over to America for WrestleMania this year, you know, you'll have time to get it before you go, because obviously WrestleMania is not until April 6th and 7th. So, you know, that can be a good thing for you to read on the plane. So, yeah. I want to thank you for all your support, as always, though, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.